I meant to share this during the announcements. As most of you know, Dave and Lori were looking for a place to live, and they were at the end. They had 1 week left to find a place, and was not looking well because they have animals, and that makes it a little more difficult to find a place. And just after communion, felt really compelled to just pray for them. And we prayed that they would find a place. And I just want to let you know that they've got a place. They Friday night. Well, somebody, yeah, Pam was the answer to the prayer. She told Dave about a place, and they checked it out Friday night, and they've got a place to move into. Isn't God good? Hey, that is exciting. To me, that's just so, so exciting. Prayer works. So anyhow, okay. It's good for, or it's not Good Friday. It's Easter Sunday. Let's get away from Friday. Let's move to Sunday. And I just, before I start my illustration, I want to give you a preamble to my illustration. You know, when you have a toddler, 2 or 3 years old, and you say something, and what do they say? Why? And then you say, you answer their question, and they say, why? And you answer that question, and they say, why, and why, and why? Okay, you understand that principle? Well, now, here's the illustration. Sometimes when our three grandsons come and spend the night with us and spend a few days there, they get in this crazy mood, and they'll say, what if? Just like the toddler says why, they say, what if? If I say, I need to take the garbage out, they'll say, what if you don't? And I say, well, it'll be smelly in the house. Well, what if it doesn't smell? And they go on and on. It doesn't matter what anybody says. They just go, what if? What if? And to be honest, it gets on my nerves a little bit. But I have to realize they're young. And that, what if? And I think we've all come there, you know? We've all thought, what if? There's a Christmas movie called It's a Wonderful Life. Everybody know what It's a Wonderful Life? Well, George Bailey, who's the head of the loans company there, decides that maybe things aren't going very good and that he should just take his life. And Clarence, the angel, comes down and says, doesn't actually say what if, but Clarence comes down and shows him what life would be like if George Bailey was never born. In other words, what if George Bailey was never born? These would be all the things that would happen, that or that didn't happen, because George Bailey wasn't born. In fact, Mr. Potter, the mean guy, would have control over everything. But have you ever asked yourself that question? What if? It might be, what if, I don't know, what if the weather was really crummy? What would we do then? What if we had $5 million to spend like you just, whatever you wanted to do? What if? What if a relationship was different? It could be any number of things, but what if? I think one of the big what if questions can be about faith. I mean, what if Christianity is a farce? What if my faith is just a mind game and I've been playing on myself? What if the Bible is merely a collection of myths? What if there is no life after death? No God, no judgment? What if there's a better holy book than the Bible? What if Jesus isn't really the Son of God? What if salvation by faith alone is wrong? What if There is no heaven or hell. And you're all saying, what if we get rid of you, Pastor? But on the other side, other people are asking questions like, what if Christianity is true? What if the Bible is really God's Word? What if Jesus is the Son of God? And what if he actually did die? And what if he actually rose from the dead? And what if he is the only way to the Father and the only way into kingdom? What if? There are many what if questions. And they've been swirling around in the minds of people for years and years and years. In fact, just as Clarence sort of put before George Bailey the what if your life didn't happen scenario, Paul does the same thing in Corinthians. You know, Paul knows that there's these questions swirling around in people's minds. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 20, now to be fair, Paul, again, just like Clarence, he doesn't actually use the what if, but he does use the word if 7 times in the 9 verses. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, we read, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? I mean, Paul knew that the Corinthians, and I would venture to say still people today, many people are saying, what if Jesus didn't really rise from the dead? What if there is no resurrection? And so Paul knew people were asking the question, so instead of it just being the elephant in the room that everybody sort of avoided, let's not talk about the resurrection because there's people here that might not believe in it, Paul decides that we need to put this question out there. Let's speak about it. Let's have it out there. So he writes about it. And the basis of these verses that we're going to talk about this morning hinge on the question, what if there is no resurrection? What if Jesus didn't really rise from the dead? What if Easter isn't really true? What if? What would it be like? Well, let's start because Paul reveals some disastrous consequences if there is no resurrection. So let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll look at verses 13 and 16, where Paul writes, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And verse 16 says, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. What Paul is stating here is that if we believe there is no resurrection, there's no resurrection at all, that if we believe that when we die, we remain in the grave and rot there, and that's the end of life, then Jesus could not have been raised from the dead either. We can't believe only that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and deny the eventual resurrection of believers. For the resurrection of Jesus and believers are tied together as one thing. Listen to Romans chapter 6, verse 5. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in the resurrection. So what Paul is saying there is that the two are joined together. It clearly shows that if there is no resurrection, then we won't. Christ hasn't risen either. The two are united together. They are one and the same. If the tomb is not empty, then there is no resurrection. What if there is no resurrection? It means neither Jesus or anyone else has been resurrected from the dead. If there's no resurrection. And next we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, "And if Christ was not raised from the dead, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." Paul shares that if Jesus is not raised from the dead, then our preaching is useless. And the Greek word here for useless means that it's without content. In fact, it really means and carries the idea that God's word, proclaiming God's word, has no truth and no power. So if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then our preaching is useless, and it has no truth and it has no power. That's sort of a hard pill for me to swallow. I mean, I've been preaching from the Bible over the past 30 years plus. I've preached hundreds of messages. And if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, if he's still in the tomb and the tomb is still sealed and everything's the way it was, then I've wasted a lot of time. I've wasted a lot of time. I know most people think I only work 1 hour on Sundays, but it does take some time to prepare the message. And all those messages are worthless. Now, for you who are saying, "Pastor, most of your messages are worthless," let me just carry it a little further. Because for all the messages and all the time that you've spent listening to messages, not just me, but everybody else, you've wasted your time. Because they have no truth. They have no power. All the time we've spent praying, serving, witnessing, and in church attendance has been just a waste of our time if Jesus is still dead and not resurrected. Yet Paul writes that it's even worse than that. Because he continues on writing in verse 15, and he says, "More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised." What if there's no resurrection? From this verse, we see that not only have we wasted our time, but we're false witnesses. Just to put it bluntly, we're liars. We're liars. We've been spreading the lie for the last 2,000 years. In other words, everyone who has claimed that Jesus rose from the dead have led a lot of people astray, telling them things that aren't true. If the dead aren't raised, then the whole gospel is a sham. And those who share it are just downright liars. Don't throw your stones yet, folks. Yet it gets still worse. Wait till we get to the end, how worse it gets. It gets still worse for those who believe in this resurrection. Paul states in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." You're still in your sins. If the tomb is not empty, then our faith is totally worthless and our sins have not been forgiven. What a sad place to be, to think that all those things that I've done wrong, and I've come to Jesus thinking that he could forgive them, and now the tomb's not empty, and my sins aren't forgiven. My sins aren't forgiven. Romans chapter 4, verse 25, we read Paul writing this. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised life for our justification. What if Jesus was not raised to life? Then there is no resurrection. Then we have seen in this verse, it looks like Satan has won. Because without the resurrection, there is no justification. There is no forgiveness of sins. And Satan has the victory. The world, all believers are still walking around in their sin. Paul carries on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 18, to write, "Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost." Think about it. If there's no resurrection, all the believers who have already passed away, where are they? They're in the ground. Dust to dust. Ashes to ashes. It's the end. We'll never see them again. If we have loved ones who are believers, we won't see them again if Christ never rose. If Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, he is still in the tomb, and there is no hope for anyone. This life is all there is. And all who are dead will remain dead forever. You're just going to die, and that's the end. If Christ hasn't been raised from the dead. What if? Well, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 19, he says, "If only for this life we have a hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." Like, Paul's getting the elephant out in the room. The elephant's getting pretty big, Paul, because here Paul reveals the sorry state we are all in if Jesus is still in the tomb, if there's no resurrection. He says we are all to be pitied more than all men. In fact, we're to be pitied more than those who have never believed. We're worse off than them. The skeptics are right. If there is no foundation to our faith, no resurrection, then we are nothing. We are self-deluded fools that the Christian faith is the greatest joke of all times. If all Christian faith has is to live a good life here on earth and then die, we are to be pitied. Why would we believe in a faith that can bring persecution, poverty, sorrow, and death? Why would we believe in something like that? Why lose out on the selfish and sensual pleasures that the world has to offer? If its ultimate fate is the same for everyone, it doesn't matter whether you live a good life or a bad life, the ultimate fate is the end, is the end. We might as well eat, drink, and be merry. So, what if there's no resurrection? Well, Jesus wouldn't have been raised from the dead. Our preaching is useless. We're just wasting our time being here. All believers are liars. The gospel is not true. Sin is not forgiven, and we still live in our sins. All believers who have died will remain dead forever. Believers are to be pitied. They have believed a hoax, a big joke. They have no hope, no future. Paul changes the whole what-if picture in verse 20 with one little word as he continues to write. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, we read, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep." But, no ifs, no ands. But if Christ has been raised from the dead. There's no question. He has been raised from the dead. He was the first fruit, the first to be raised. And all believers who have died will be raised with him. You know, it's the truth. Jesus was the first fruit, which means if there's a first, there's a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and a 10,000th and how many ever they've been raised from the dead. Who are the second and the third and the fourth and the 10,000th? They're the believers. They're us. We will be raised from the dead. Our sharing of the gospel is not useless, as the truth, which it is the truth which sets people free. It's true. It's true that Jesus came and died on a cross. He paid our sins. It makes, if Jesus is raised from the dead, and there is no doubt that he was raised from the dead, if you have doubt, come and talk to me afterwards. But it is true that he was raised from the dead, and if that's true, then the truth is that he died on the cross for our sins, and our sins are forgiven. Jesus has forgiven. When we come to him and ask for salvation, when we come to him and say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner, please forgive my sins," they're forgiven. It's the truth. The gospel is true. The tomb is empty. And we are no longer in our sins. We have been set free. He came to set the captives free. We are no longer slaves to our sins. Not to say we don't sin, but Jesus has set us free from being slaves to it. And as Jesus is raised from the dead, we are not to be pitied. We are blessed beyond measure. It is all there. It is all there. We have life to the full. We have it. Do we go through struggles? Yes, we go through struggles. But Jesus walks through with us. He's there. He's the one who gets us a place to live. Not leave. Well, you got a place to leave too. He's the one who provides our finances. He's the one who's there in the center of our relationships. He's the one. He's the hope of glory. He's the resurrection life. Because the resurrection is true, Easter is true. The cross is empty. Jesus is no longer on the cross. It is empty. We don't need to have a cross with Jesus hanging on it because he's not there. He was on Friday, but this is Sunday. This is the resurrection day, and he's no longer there. The tomb is empty. Oh, there's a few pieces of linen that wrapped around Jesus' head and body. They're there, but the body isn't because he sits at the right hand of the Father. Because the cross is empty, because the tomb is empty, we are filled with life and hope and a future. The truth is, when it comes to the resurrection and Easter, there is no what ifs. There is no what ifs. It is all fact. It happened, and we're free. The resurrection changes everything. Changed my life. Changed my marriage. Changed my finances. It changed everything. If you knew the difference, it is like darkness and light. The resurrection. Jesus has risen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for not stoning me through the tough part of the message. I know, I made sure that I cleaned out the parking lot before we came in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you that the resurrection is true, Lord. Thank you that we don't have to go to the what ifs. We just know that Jesus came, he died, and in 3 days, he arose again. He triumphed over death. Death, there is no more sting. Where is your sting, O death? You don't have sting because Jesus defeated death. And we will only pass from this life into the next in an instant. Just as Pastor Paul talked on Good Friday about the thief on the cross that repented. He went from this life hanging on the cross to being with Jesus in paradise that very day. Wow. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for defeating death. Thank you for giving it to us and inviting us to be part of your family. Father, if there are those here today that really been questioning the resurrection and really wondering about it, Lord, I just ask that you would make it so real to them that they would not be able to deny the fact that the tomb was empty and you were with the Father. Jesus, thank you for this Easter, because it is a happy Easter because of your resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.